Maggie. I'm with Overcomers. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I know that a lot of times it's really hard to get up in the mornings and to just make a stay on a positive note, because when you're tired, you haven't had your coffee, you're still trying to wake up and get all this gunk out of your eyes. You got to go brush your teeth and you have to do all the routine that you do to get up in the mornings and go. And you're just like trying to wake up. There is one thing that I do when I wake up. I listen to Show Love, and it's by one Cape View. And I love it because it's like show love, show love, show love. When they don't want you to shine, show love. But I take it more like today I'm going to stay on a positive note. I'm going to do whatever I can to be able to lead in the right direction, to go where God wants me to go, to do what God wants me to do. It could be different for you. You're more just maybe like, I just want to make it through the day. So anytime that you have like, you start your day, you get to work and or whatever it is that you do, you know, people are in line, they're waiting and they want to get their meal done, you know, McDonald's and I don't know, wherever you go. For me, I like going to different places. So, and then sometimes it's a long line and I'm like, oh, I'm not even going to stop. I'm just going to keep going. So I'll keep going and I'll go somewhere else. And then I get to work and then I'm eating and then I cook in and I get all my stuff going and I tell myself, okay, let's rock and roll. We're going to get this. This day's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. And boom, there's a patient or someone, you know, a customer, a friend that, hey, you didn't show up. This isn't right. Or you didn't do my breakfast wasn't correct. You know, I got too much sugar in my coffee. That's not what I asked for. And you have all these complaints that come through. And you're like, oh my goodness, you know, what's going on? And you can say, well, I don't care. Just whatever it is, you know, you could just lash out back and whatever, you know, just got to wait and whatever. Or you can say, like, take a deep breath, breathe, exhale, and say to yourself, how can I stay positive? And what should I do to make this person's day? Because the reality is that people are like stressed. They're going through something. Maybe they lost someone. Maybe they've just had an argument, a breakup, and then you're the first person that does something wrong and they're gonna lash out at you. And now keep in mind that I haven't always handled it that way because I was growing and I'm grown and I thank God for that. But there were times where, man, I would get so mad. And I was a store manager at one point and I couldn't stand it when people come in and they were like, well, I haven't worn it. And they had to return a piece of clothing, an item. And you can tell they wore it. They had like all these, what do you call those? Deodorant streaks on the sleeve of the armpit. It smelled like really bad, like sweat. Like you knew that they wore it. And because you got to honor, you know, your customer service, your best thing to do is give a refund or an exchange. And so I didn't always handle that really well. Like I'm not going to lie. Back in those days, I needed Jesus. Back then it was horrible. I was horrible. I was full of anger, full of bitterness. And so anyways, I remember this one time this woman came in and she just, man, she told me, I want this back. I want my money back. I don't like this. I don't want it, whatever, whatever. And I was like, okay, you know, but you wore it. And she was like, no, I didn't. And I said, yes, you did. And, you know, that's not customer service. You're not supposed to tell them that. You're supposed to say, okay, you know, can I get you anything else? Would you like another piece of clothing? So you want to wear something else and bring it back? What do you want to do? But you can't. So I did the opposite. I got really upset and I said, I'm not taking that back. And she said, why not? And she said, yes, you are. So she grabbed a piece of clothing and she just threw it like at me and said, yes, you are going to take this back and I want my money back. And she called me a B, like, you know, the B that we all hate, the word B, unless you are used to that word, then you don't mind. But I wasn't used to it. And so I didn't like it. So anyway, she throws it at me and tells me, like, you are gonna give me my money back. And she started going like this with her neck, you know, back and forth, like a bobblehead. So I started going back and forth with a bobblehead too. And I was just like, oh no, you're not getting this back. And you're gonna get out of my store. And like, if I really owned the store, because I didn't own the store, I was just working there. And then you're gonna get out of my store and you're not gonna, and everybody, all y'all need to get out now. And so I was just throwing everybody out of the store. And I grabbed, she was like wanting to fight me. And I'm like, okay. So I grabbed the scissors that were next to me and I picked them up. And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, you know, that's not right. Like, what are you doing? But I was so upset that I was like, oh, I want to cut her, like in my mind. And I just like grabbed the scissors and I just like, y'all need to get out of my store right now. And I was just like yelling. And so everybody in the store, like literally were like freaking out that this little bitty 5 feet, I was 125 at the time. And they're like, get out of the store, get out. Everybody just get out. And so they were all getting out of the store, and I literally went to the front of the store, pulled down the gate with the hook that was nearby, and I grabbed the door and I had slung it down halfway, and I was pretty strong. So they're like going under the gate, like trying to get out. And I was like, I just shut it after that. And I was just so mad. I went to the back and I was like, I can't believe, you know, it was like, what in the world? I don't even remember what else happened that day because I was blacked out. But it was anger that took over. It took me over. And I was like, oh my God, this is horrible. Well, I didn't work there any longer. And it wasn't because of that. It was just other things that accumulated to my anger and my lack of being responsible and being young and you know, just bad stuff anyways. But my point is that we all grow in different stages. And so at that time, when I look back now and I talk to teenagers about, you know, how to handle our anger, that was not a healthy way. That's a good example of not how to not handle your anger. It should have been different. It should have, now it's more like, okay, how can I know this person is in pain. I processed it well. I tell them, you know, I tell myself, like, maybe they're in pain. Because people, when they're in pain, they're gonna be mean. They're gonna lash out. They're gonna be impatient because you're in pain. So one of the beauties of me working in the medical field was that I learned that when people are in pain, they tend to be uncomfortable, hurting, angry, impatient because of just the discomfort of the pain that they're feeling. So I have learned to ask myself those three things. What are they hurting? Where are they hurting? And how are they hurting? When I have learned to do that and developed this type of reaction when someone comes at me and says those things, I try to keep that in mind. I didn't always keep that in mind. I was just like, you know, well, I hurt too, and I've been through pain too, and who's going to take care of me? But the thing is, what it was my job, my responsibility as a growing individual, as a growing person, and changing and trying to develop, that I needed to change the way I handle things because it would just escalate to something worse. So, in your moments, when you find yourself with that impatient person, in that impatient customer, or just someone that you don't even know, a stranger that lashes out, keep that in mind. Are they hurting? Why are they hurting? And who hurt them? Or they're in pain. Where are they in pain? Why are they in pain? Or what can I do to ease the pain? How can I help? How can I be an encourager to this person when they're feeling the way they're feeling? Or how can I calm them down so that they can have a better day? And even though you're not having a good day yourself, there's beauty that comes when you are able to put your feelings aside and give this person what you want someone to give to you. Because if you can remember the times where you've been in such a terrible pain and hurt and at the point of tears what you would have wanted someone to do for you. And I try to remember that. Like, I remember when my mother was sick, she would go to the doctor. She would tell me when she would come back how some of the nurses there treated her. They treated her, sometimes they would treat her bad, sometimes they would treat her nice. And she said there was one time that her telling me that one of the nurses was really kind to her and the doctor, and took the time to listen to her, because, you know, doctors and nurses were sometimes therapists, kind of like people vent on us. And so, and if you have a compassionate heart and empathy, you're more than you welcome those kind of situations. And so she told me, you know, they sat there with me, they listened to me, they counseled me, they comforted me. And I really enjoyed that. You know, they were really good. And I would remember that conversation. It stuck with me throughout my life. And there were times where I would look at an elderly woman and I would see her with her grandbaby and I would say, wow, my mom did that. My mom took, you know, our grandkids to the doctor sometimes, or she took them with her, and how they treated her. So how am I going to treat this person that's coming and complaining to me about whatever's going on in their home? Am I going to shoo them away, or am I going to listen in and just be that listening ear? And I think that what happens sometimes is we listen in and we hold it in, whatever they're telling us, and take those things to heart. Like, oh, I don't have time for this. You know, I'm going through my own stuff. I don't have time to listen to you. We have that attitude. But if we change the attitude to say, this could be my mom. This could be my mom taking my daughter to the doctor. How would I want them to treat her? And so when I would think about stuff like that, I would welcome that individual and I would say, you know, this was my mother at one point. Let me listen to her. Let me take the time. And I would literally ask God, give me words of encouragement. You know, Holy Spirit, guide me so that I can be able to give her a prophetic word or a scripture or a song to listen to or something that will enlighten her day to make it even more positive. So I would do that. I developed it. It took a while because there were times where I would just get mad and I would just get mad at things. And I know we all get mad at certain things because we have life that happens and then we just don't deal with the situations correctly. And so it's a developing type of training of the brain that you have to sit back and say, let's look at it from a different perspective. Let's look at it as if it was your family member that was walking through that door or walking or in the drive-through. How would you handle it? Because, you know, when your friends go up to the to wherever you're working and they're driving through your work, if you work at a fast food place, or this, because this happened to me, and they're like, hey, girl, what's up? You know, I got you. You know, and you're all fun and games and stuff. But then the next person, oh, move, gone, get out of here, because there's the next person behind you and I got to get their order. Or, you know, just different situations. But you welcome those things. So if you can train your brain to say, maybe this is my individual that I may know. Or if I can really, my best way of picturing this was just closing my eyes and just for those seconds and just say, okay, this is my brother, this is my sister, this is my my friend. I want them I want to treat them well. And if it was me on the other side, how would I want to be treated? I know that's a lot, you know, like it takes a lot of developing. It takes a lot of that to do. So for me, it was more like affirmations and sitting quiet in my moments and reading my word, the Bible, and what are the attributes of being of God in Galatians that talks about the fruits of the Spirit, you know, kindness, meekness, humility, all of those goodness, the good things. So we're dwelling on those things. So when you dwell on those things and begin to think about those things, then you're just changing your brain. You're changing your mind. You're, you know, Dr. Caroline Leaf talks about she's a neuroplasticity. And you can look at her, look her up online, Facebook. And I love her books because they really helped me. It was a rewiring of my brain and how she explains it so beautifully about the tree of life. It's a tree that how our brain when we think good thoughts, it's almost like it's a beautiful green tree in the inside of our brain. And when we think about bad things, bad thoughts, it's like a charcoal wannabe dark tree, dead. And you know, the word of God says that as so a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But as you're thinking all these negative things inside of you, you're poisoning your own body. You're filling yourself with so much toxic waste inside that eventually it develops and it just manifests in the outside, because everything that's inwardly is going to eventually come out on the outside. And we are in a society that we talk about, well, I don't want to be around this toxic person. I don't want to be around this toxic people. But have you ever really thought about yourself being toxic? Like, what are the things that you think about? What are the negative things you think about other people? What are the negative things that you say to yourself? Because a lot of times we say those things to ourselves. Oh yeah, you can't do that. Oh, you're not good. Oh, you know what? Yeah. Or you get jealous because of the fact, well, they ain't doing nothing, but you're not doing nothing either. But yet you want to be critical. So you get critical about certain things, and that's also negative. Because instead of saying, God, you know, she's doing a great job, what can I do to contribute? Maybe share this or share that. What can I do to help that person to be more successful? Because in the midst of you being the giver, you are also helping yourself be better and being positive, and you're rewiring that one signal that says, be critical, be critical, be critical. No, be positive, show love, demonstrate love, show love, give it to them, give them the best. I mean, talk about good things about them. Now, keep in mind, we all fail. We all eventually, at one point, talk about bad about somebody, and we talk bad about ourselves to ourselves. So we have to be able to listen, sit quiet, rewire. What are we thinking about? What did we say? What are we saying about others? And thinking about those things and rewiring those things. So, showing love is not just showing love, but it's also giving love to that person that is so hard, that is comes at you yelling and they're in pain. And I think me being around doctors or working with them has showed me, I have had the privilege to work with great doctors, and they are very humble, and they have shown me how to handle situations like that. And I think that God is so awesome in the way He is, because He places us in situations, and it's in places where when we ask Him to develop something in us, He's faithful and He will provide a way for us to grow in that area. And for me, it was a doctor that I worked for, and I would see how he was so patient about how when people would come at him and they would argue with him and they would just lash out, and he was so calm. And I would like, how does he do that? And it's a developing characteristic. You develop it. You learn to train yourself to be calm, to be at peace within yourself, and that it has nothing to do with you. It's the individual that's struggling, that's dealing with something that is painful, that is hurtful, the disappointment, the failure, whatever. And so other doctors that have shown me different aspects of, you know, why do they yell? I would ask them, why do they yell? Why do people yell and get upset? They just want somebody to listen to them. That's it. They want to vent, and you're the next available person. And so you just let them vent. Don't take it personal. And that's where the armor of God comes in, like the shield. You put on the shield of God and just say, nothing's going to penetrate my soul, my heart, my mind, my spirit. And I'm just going to listen and let those words bounce right off to the heavens and say, God, they're venting, but I'm going to let them vent to you. I'm just the ear, but it's not going to penetrate my soul. It's not going to go into my spirit. I'm not going to let it consume me. And I'm not going to let this ruin my day, because I'm not the one that's hurting at this point. They are. And I'm just going to be compassionate. I'm going to be empathetic. And I'm going to love them and listen with a smile on my face. And, or just maybe a gentle one, because, you know, if you smile too much, they think you're not taking them serious. But, you know, I just like, okay, I got you. I understand. I'm so sorry that happened to you, you know? I apologize. Yes, I'm sorry. And a lot of times people that have been hurt and they've never gotten an apology from someone else, You may be the only person that has ever given them apology, and you know that means a lot. That means a lot. There's been times where one time that I remember, several, but this is the one time that I think it was so impactful for me because I didn't expect to do this either. Sometimes God just prompts me to do something, so I do it. There was a young lady that I knew, and she was hurt by church members, and she was hurt so much that she did not want to step back into a church because it had hurt her so much. And so I was like, this can't be, like, what can I do? You know, we were walking on a college campus. We're walking on a college campus, and she began to tell me her story. We're walking and she was talking and I was listening, and my heart broke for her. And I was like, God, what can I do? Because of course she was younger than me. I was older. I'm like, this could be my daughter. This could be my daughter that one day I would want her to go to church. And if she hasn't talked to me in a long time, how would I want someone that would be in her life to be able to speak into her life? And so we just walked and walked. And as we were walking, I just began to pray. And I was like, God, what do I say? Holy Spirit, show me, you know. And I was just praying, heal her heart in whoever did that to her. So she told me the story of what happened and how she was so hurt by it. And we sat at this bench. We're sitting on the bench, and the Holy Spirit, I literally saw myself kneeling at her, asking her for forgiveness. And I saw it in my mind, and I was like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I going to do that? And then the Lord said, she needs, because she has never received an apology from anyone that has hurt her in the church. And I was like, okay, you know, all right, well, I'll do it. So I literally got down on my knees, and I looked up at her and I told her, the Lord wants me to tell you that I am so sorry for all the people that have hurt you, for whatever they did to you, whatever they said to you, how they handled you, not with care, but that God sees your heart and your pain. And on behalf of those people, I want you to forgive me. And she just started crying. I mean, she was just like, you know, just like, why are you doing this? You know, why are you doing that? Get up, you know, get up. I said, no, I need you to forgive me. Because on behalf of those people that hurt you, I'm going to be that advocate to say, I'm sorry. Now, kid you not, I was embarrassed because I was in the middle of the campus. People were walking around. And we were sitting there, not a whole lot of people, but still it was in the public place. And I just didn't like to do stuff like that. So I did it though. And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, this is so weird. This feels so weird. What do people want to think? I'm like, oh my God, well, it doesn't matter. Cause you know, God's telling me to do it. And I'm going to do it. So I did it. And of course she pulled me up. We hugged. I cried with her, prayed with her, counseled her to get back in church. And she did. And that was a praise report. Thank you, Jesus, for that. That was all honor and glory to God because he did it, not me. He did it. He knew what I needed to do. He instructed me to do it. And I was just a listener and I obeyed. So sometimes we can be that person to be an advocate for someone else that has done that. Because there's also an incident where I saw, who was it? What is her name? Paula White. And Paula White did that for the women's conference 1 year. And she apologized to all of the women that have been hurt. And she said, you may never get an apology from those that hurt you, but I'm here to apologize for that. And I thought that was beautiful because I'm like, do you know what that does to people? When you apologize, when you say, I'm sorry, forgive me, without explaining, but because, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm sorry that I hurt you. I'm sorry that you feel this way. I'm sorry that this happened to you. And just hug them. And that's it. You'd be surprised what that does. And you probably have. So I'm just going to encourage you, if you are that type of person, just keep doing it. Because you're going to reap beautiful benefits in your health. You're going to be a whole, complete, healed. You're going to be a radiant face of love and kindness. And you're going to radiate love and express yourself without being afraid. So I want to encourage you to keep doing that, to keep thinking on the positive note and show love, show love, show love, show love in the midst of it all. And even when yourself, you're down, and even when that, you just reach out to someone. Put on a podcast like this one and just encourage yourself. Remember those moments that you were down and someone lifted you up, or you lifted somebody up. Think about those moments. Go back and think about the goodness of God. Think about the good things in your life, because I know that there's good stuff in your life, and you have to look at that way too. There's good stuff in my life. Even though there was tragedies and there was chaos and there was drama, stuff I created myself too, but the enemy did as well. But I look back and I say, oh, the goodness of God, he has shown me love. So who am I not to show love? So there you have it. Showing love. You know, the greatest of this is love. You know, where the word of God talks about, you can give to the poor. You can speak in tongues. You can prophesy. You can preach. But if you have not love, God says, you are nothing. You're like a clashing cymbal. Clap, clap, nothing. That's it. Just a clashing cymbal. So we want to be overcomers, that no matter what has happened to us in our lives, that we are healing, we're getting whole, and we are walking in love and genuine love, because we know what it's like to not have that apology. We know what it's like to be abused. We know what it's like to go through things. We know what it's like to endure. We know what it's like to survive tragedies and chaos. And we overcame. I want to bless you today, that you will show love wherever you go, and that you be encouraged to know that God is for you. He is not against you, baby. He is not against you. He's for you. And though what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it for his glory. And all this, baby, is for God's glory. You're an overcomer.